And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton, joined in studio by the director of radio here at Prairie Public, Bill Thomas, who was recently at a pretty important gathering of arts organizations and arts interests in North Dakota.
Yeah, the North Dakota Council on the Art. Every other year they have a convening, a conference that people get together. A lot of arts educators, a lot of artists, a lot of people from different arts organizations all around the state. So it's a really interesting meeting.
And it was at the North Dakota Heritage and Center and History Museum?
Yes. Yeah, it was a great place for it.
Well, this year there was somebody special who was talking, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were special were talking. One of them was Terry Jelsing, and people may know him because he's been active in the arts and in North Dakota.
I know him from the Plains Art Museum. He used to run that.
Right, right. And so he is somebody, he grew up on a farm near Rugby, and he came and, he was successful as an artist in Fargo. And then he decided to go back to Rugby, and he's actually living now. His studio is on the farm that he grew up on, and he's got commissioned works that he's working on. He's doing some teaching. He's doing this special project with some other artists about the Spirit Lake Nation, which, of course, near there, and just doing lots of interesting things. Well, He's a member of the Arts Council, the kind of the board of the North Dakota Council on the Arts, and they asked him to introduce a speaker, and as part of the introduction, he talked a bit about his experience of being an artist in North Dakota.
The first part of my story starts out like the stories of many of you here today. I was a kid who grew up on the prairie with a whole lot of landscape, not much in the way of high culture, and a lot less of everything else. I spent my life as a child with my dog, Rusty Ohio, imagining a world filled with friends and epic adventures, which we played out in the safety of shelter belts surrounding our home. Growing up on a farm afforded me the experience of watching life's little miracles unfold daily. Winter gave me the opportunity to sit inside looking out at a world seemingly stopped in time. Drawing became a form of serious play that I repeated over and over again, perhaps to cope with the silence and the character of the season, cold. I didn't think of drawing as art making. It was just something I needed to do, perhaps to free myself from winter's confinement. I was discovered as an artist by my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Lee. When I showed her portraits I had drawn of over a dozen presidents or so, Mrs. Lee put them up on a classroom wall where she displayed them for most of the year, and every Friday I added one or more to the collection. Most kids at that age specialize in awkward and are just beginning to find out what they are about, let alone know who they are. It was the first time I was recognized by an adult and by my classmates as someone with ability. I was proud of my presidents. I was an eighth grader when I first got my first studio, and junior high principal arranged for me to work in the old high school beneath the stage right next to the coal boiler. I never abused the privilege, nor did I tell friends I had been given a key to the school. It wasn't a comfortable space. It was so hot I had about a half hour before my shirt started sticking to my back. Nevertheless, I worked on projects continuously, often into the night. The senior high principal extended my privileges and gave me a new studio in a storage room at the new high school. From there, I earned my first money as an artist, painting signs for livestock sales. When I was a sophomore, I entered a painting in the North Dakota Juried Student Art Exhibition and won first place. The recognition ceremony was held in the main ballroom at the University of North Dakota. Called to the podium to accept my award, I wasn't required to speak, but managed to burble out some thank yous and then red-faced quickly took my seat. That recognition gave me a great sense of pride, and being on the university campus opened up a whole new world for me. I can't help but wonder if those principals and many teachers along the way had not encouraged and trusted me and taken a chance on a prairie boy, what my life would have been like. This is the one thing I cannot imagine, because those early positive experiences shaped my identity, first as an artist and later as an art educator, designer, and arts administrator. Today, my greatest motivation comes from non-supporters, the disbelievers, and the fear-mongers who say, no, you can't. You can't think that way. You can't leverage the support. You can't expect that to happen. There have always been people like that, and all I have to say to them is, don't use your power to restrict that which you are afraid of or don't understand. And thank you for creating an opportunity for me to explain it to you. Art makes the world a better place. When we cultivate an environment supportive of the arts, we conform to the highest levels of humanity. There will always be those who marginalize the arts and the art makers. There will always be individuals willfully ignorant of the power of creative expression that is used to enrich society. For us artists, it is easy to be passionate about what we so deeply care about. We know art is essential to human life as food, water, and shelter. It is much more challenging, however, to convey that understanding to the rest of the world, and yet making art and advocating for the arts is something we all must do. Author James Baldwin wrote, "The war of an artist with his society is a lover's war, and he does at his best what lovers do, which is to reveal the beloved to himself and, with that revelation, to make freedom real." My early teachers and school administrators were not artists themselves, but they advocated for me and encouraged me. Together, they set an example I have followed throughout my career. To trust artists, to support artists, and hopefully to inspire artists of all ages and in all stages of their creative journeys, to boldly explore and exploit their passions. I hope all of you are and will continue to do the same, for you are the carriers of the light.
That was Terry Jelsing at the recent convening of the North Dakota Arts Council in Bismarck. And Bill Thomas, you were there. What I take from that is that he enjoyed some support from important people along the way.
Yeah, I think I felt a sort of an implicit contrast with this idea that's in the air that, like, oh, if you really want to make it as a creative artist, you've got to go to a big city. You know, you've got to go to Chicago or New York or San Francisco or something, and or London. And he is saying, you know, he started out and had his career here in North Dakota, and it's worked out well. And he had support from a lot of people on the way who maybe weren't stars of the art world, but helped him and
believed in him. Yeah.
Right.
And it seems to me that this place where he's from is important to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, inspirational maybe.
Yeah. And I think his point was you can do a lot as a creative artist just in North Dakota.
Well, Terry Jelsing was one of the people there that was important to listen to. There were others as well. And for that matter, there were other people being honored.
There were a lot of interesting people there besides Terry Jelsing. The governor was there, Governor Doug Burgum. It was the governor's awards for the arts. And so he was handing them out, which doesn't always happen. The governor doesn't always show up for it, but he did this time. And David White Thunder Trottier, who is the chair of the North Dakota Council on the Arts, was there talking. Kim Conico, who's the director. And then the honorees included Annette Hovey from New Rockford for her work in arts education, and John Gross from Napoleon, who's he's in pretty advanced years, but he's done a lot of work with German music and singing. Office Sign Company of Fargo got honored as a business that's done a lot with the arts. David Borlaug and Jesse Veder got honored for individual achievement. David Borlaug has done a lot, including most recently developing a really dynamic art gallery in Bismarck, and he gave a little tease about they may be branching out to the West.
Ah.
And Jesse Veder, a musician, a songwriter that
Watford
we've heard
City
here.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's done good.
And then the Jamestown Fine Arts Center got honored as an organization.
So the governor's there. This is the North Dakota Arts Council, and of course the arts in the state of North Dakota and the country at large don't exactly get vast infusions of money. Was there any lobbying for support?
Yes, I would say so. Legislators were invited, and many legislators did come and kind of look at what was going on and discuss things. And then some of the presentations, you had a choice you know, different ones you could go to. But some of the presentations were definitely about advocating for the arts in many different ways, including finding additional funding.
Well, in this state and in many places in the United States, it's a matter of really less than a buck a year kind of thing. It's amazing how little there is in the to support the arts.
Yeah, it
per
varies.
Individual.
when you look at like the European countries, they put a lot more into it, it's a decision that our society makes, and that they talk about it there.
Bill Thomas will join us in the future on Main Street to talk about the arts and the support and the Capitol event that he attended.